We hope you enjoy this episode of the Modern Divorce Podcast. But first, an important message for our listeners.
Embarking on a new chapter? Zach Knutzman of the Darwin Wall team at Realty One Group is your go-to real estate expert in Arizona, specializing in guiding couples and families through their real estate needs while experiencing a divorce. Modern Law's trusted partner, Zach, brings expertise, confidence, and compassion to your real estate journey. Let him help you navigate this challenging time. Zach Knutzman, your modern solution in real estate. Visit ZachSellsAZ.com to get started. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Modern Divorce Podcast. I am your host, Billy Tarasio. Today, I am joined by a parenting coach, divorce expert, Christina McGee. Christina, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Billy. It's great to be here.
Great to have you here. You were recommended to me by a dear friend who also owns a divorce law firm, and he could not stop singing your praises. So tell the listeners a little bit about your background and what it is that you do.
Oh, sure. So I do a lot of different things. I am a coach who works directly with separating and divorced parents through the very beginning stages to years down the road. And I do that in one-on-one sessions or joint co-parenting sessions. So parents can work with me directly, but I'm also a trainer and I do professional trainings for multidisciplinary groups like family lawyers, mediators, divorce coaches, mental health professionals who also offer services to support separating families. And my belief is that divorce doesn't have to be devastating and we can do this better. And so my goal is, how do we get information and support into the hands of parents at the earliest possible point in the process? Because it makes a huge difference in the lives of children.
Absolutely. There's so much we could talk about today. I had an interesting conversation this last weekend with my now 17-year-old, and he was reflecting on his impression of the years following my ex-husband and I's divorce. And I was shocked by his perspective and by what he experienced because I am a divorce professional. I knew what I was doing. I was very aware of the do's and don'ts and really tried to do it right. And yet, he still experienced that time in a way that was pretty awful for him. And so the more education we can get, the better. And I don't think, I don't have it figured out. So if you can help. Now, you know, we're on the backside, you know, we're kind of through the storm. And so we're in a completely different place co-parenting wise. But, you know, just getting practical tips for those people who are in the storm right now would be really good.
Right. Well, I'll say two things about that. So first, that's such a common experience because there is so much that kids navigate behind the scenes that never makes it onto our parenting radar. And part of that is because kids naturally kind of fall into this trap of feeling responsible for parents' emotional well-being and how they're doing. And a lot of kids naturally just worry about rocking the boat, about making things worse. So they may start filtering the things they say or not talking about how the experience really feels for them. Many parents hold, and they don't mean to, but they hold a narrative, you know, that, oh, things are better this way, or we're going to be okay, we're going to thrive, and kids want to support that narrative. Mm-hmm. And so they don't talk about how it feels for them, and they don't talk about the stress or, you know, burdens that they carry. Mm-hmm. So I'm not surprised that, you know, your son had a completely different perspective that was really surprising. So I think the first tip for people that are in it is find ways to reassure your kids that it's okay to talk about all of it. And the way we do that is not just saying it, but also paying attention to our reactions to what they do share. Mm-hmm. Are we able to step into a place of validating their feelings? And it's important to realize that validating their feelings doesn't mean we have to agree with them, doesn't mean we have to share that perspective, but we're open to understanding why they might feel the way they do and reassuring them that that's understandable, that's normal. Oh, of course, I get it. That makes sense. You know, I can see why you might think that or you might feel that way. A lot of kids do. Mm-hmm. And by continuing the conversation, we give our kids the opportunity to feel like they can talk about it in a very normal and open way. I had a mom that I was coaching, and she said to me, Christina, she said, I am really, really distressed. She said, it's like 2 years out and my kids are still talking about the divorce.
Yeah.
Like they'll just bring up questions and they'll talk about what it was like when we split up. And she said, I have to know, what am I doing wrong?
Yeah.
And I said to her, so from everything that we've talked about, sounds like your kids have adjusted really well.
Sure.
They're transitioning very smoothly between the households. Mm-hmm. I said, when they're bringing things up about the divorce, what kind of things are they saying? And she said, well, they're just kind of talking about how it's different and what it felt like back then and how it feels now. She said, they're not upset. They're just talking about it like they're talking about school. And I said, well done, mama. Like, that's the goal. Right?
Yeah.
We want kids to be able to talk about it as a part of their lives.
Sure. And I think the same way, like our divorces, I don't know if you're divorced, but if you go through a divorce, it is a massive life event. There's pre-divorce and post-divorce. It's, you know, like two different universes. It's almost like, you know, being in college versus working, like they're just completely different universes. And I think for our kids, it's the same way. Their worlds are pre-divorce, my life was one way. Post-divorce, my life was another way. And so it's going to be very common for them to reflect on that change because it was so massive.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's really important to frame divorce as a change in the family, not the end of the family.
Sure.
Right. There are phases. You're absolutely right. You know, and it takes families anywhere from 1 to 3 years, sometimes even longer, depending on the level of conflict, to kind of get back to that new normal. Mm-hmm. But the important thing for parents to remember is divorce is not an experience that happens in children's lives. It's an experience that happens in their lives that becomes part of their lives for the rest of their lives.
Right.
And that's the second point, is like divorce isn't something that kids kick back into their rearview mirror and just move forward and never think of it again. It is a part of their lives.
Yeah.
And in some way, shape, or form, as life changes, different feelings or thoughts or challenges may come up related to divorce for your kids and for yourself. And so it's important to be open to that. And that's another reason why it's, you know, you need to remember that having a conversation about divorce isn't a one and done. It's mm-hmm. an ongoing conversation mm-hmm. from the time it happens for really the rest of their lives, even as young as young adults, right? Things are going to come up.
Absolutely. Now, you mentioned you work with divorcing couples, both when they're going through the divorce and years later. Mm-hmm. Do you usually work with both people or one person?
So it depends on the circumstances. I would say that more often than not, I'm coaching one parent mm-hmm. because the vast majority of clients that I work with are kind of falling into that special, really difficult, high conflict circumstance mm-hmm. Where there's a parent who's maybe struggling with addiction issues or mental health issues or has a high conflict personality. There's just a lot going on, and these parents are really trying to show up for their kids in the best way possible to minimize the conflict, and they just don't know what else to do. And so they're looking for support. I do have couples that come to me often in the very early stages that are very clear, like, we want to get this right.
Mm.
And so I may work with both parents in those circumstances on how do we have that conversation, that very first conversation with kids? How do we frame it? How do we plan for it? How do we transition from one home to two? What's that going to look like for your kids? And really lay the groundwork. And I have found that that's really the defining difference for lots and lots of families. Like, what you're doing in those early stages makes mm-hmm. a huge difference on where you end up down the road.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. If you're sitting in a place where you're facing divorce, you and your spouse are sort of okay. You're sort of okay. I would highly recommend you seek out somebody like Christina to help your kids along, because getting everybody on the same grieving journey is really important, right? When one person exits a marriage and the other person's blindsided, it's very difficult to have a peaceful divorce. They're just, you have one person who's done and been done and processed the end of their relationship and one person who's blindsided. It's just incredibly difficult. And I think the same might happen for children. If mom and dad have completely processed this divorce and the children are blindsided, that could be really hard for them.
Well, what I'll say about the grief and loss, and that's a really interesting point, because while the whole family is going through the divorce experience together, more often than not, everybody's in a different stage and experiencing in a different way. And I think it's really critical for parents to get some support around understanding that and acknowledging where they are and where the other parent is, where the children might be, and that it's not like a linear process. Like, you don't go through this stage for 2.5 weeks and this stage for 2 weeks, and then you're home free. It is a very fluid process, and there are going to be, as things change within the family, as you move forward with a transition, you're going to take two steps forward, one step back. Things are going to get stirred up, and the better you are at recognizing them and acknowledging them and using that information to kind of inform how you respond to one another, how you communicate to one another, how you show up for your kids can make a really big difference.
I can't say it enough. I think using a professional to help you with this process is definitely worth it. I want to ask you about a situation. I had somebody come see me the other day, and she's been doing 50-50 parenting with her ex, and they have three kids, and it's high conflict, and it hasn't gotten any better. And it's like 3 or 4 years out, and it's so bad that she is thinking about moving out of state to create more space between her and her ex and hopefully minimize the conflict. He has moved in down the street. There is a history of domestic violence. And she just gave me some examples. Like, the 15-year-old boy now has completely been turned against his mom. He's involved in some things that, probably constitute conduct disorder. The 15-year-old, has become violent with mom. So you've got that. And then there's two other teens. And dad will do things like say it's okay for the daughter to go on a trip. And then the night before, tell mom, if you don't do X, Y, and Z, daughter can't go. And I'm telling her that you're not letting her go. That sort of thing. So if somebody feels like they're in an impossible co-parenting situation, where as much as they try to protect their children, their ex is hell-bent on hurting their children to hurt them, what do you suggest?
I would say get some support for yourself ASAP. And here's the reason, because while you can't control what the other parent does or doesn't do, what they say, how they engage with the children, especially with high conflict, how you respond, how you give your children a context for understanding their experience is really, really critical, because the problem is there are a lot of things that parents with the very best of intentions, there's behaviors they engage in that make the situation worse. And so with high conflict, you really need to pay attention to, first of all, what's the payoff? Because more often than not, the conflict becomes the new way to maintain the connection. So instead of passionately loving each other, it's I passionately hate you, right? And it's intoxicating and it's strong. And so as long as you're feeding into the cycle of gauging how you react by what the other parent does or doesn't do, then you're caught in the trap. And so it's really important. I tell parents, it's hard to see the picture when you're in the frame. And so how can you get someone that's outside of the frame of your life to give you the perspective you need to really get some clarity on the situation and be able to take very focused and intentional steps towards minimizing the conflict? Now, what I will say is that what's really important for kids is that research shows when kids have one stable, nurturing, you know, consistent, predictable parent, they can still fare far better than if nobody steps it up. So what you want to do is you want to be that container. You want to be that shelter for your kids. And when you've got a parent that's engaging in alienation, often we fall into the trap of wanting to set the record straight, giving kids more information, trying to tell them our side of the story, which just gets them trapped in a no-win situation. And so there's some really important messaging that kids need to hear in those types of situations. And one of the things they need to hear is that it's not your job to pick or choose who's right or wrong, right? You don't have to be, I don't want you in the middle between me and the other parent. And just because the other parent is angry at me doesn't mean you need to be angry at me. And if I have issues with the other parent, you don't have to have issues with the other parent. And really providing them a context for understanding what's going on and helping them get some tools to separate themselves from what's going on between mom and dad. Now, when you told me that she was thinking of moving to another state, that may or may not help her. It may create a further rift between her and the kids because the kids are going to be uprooted. And that connection, that programming that dad has engaged in isn't just going to disappear because of the distance. If anything, it could make it much harder. So I would really encourage her to be thoughtful about that and to perhaps seek support, ask somebody to work with her directly on how she can make things better in the right now before making that choice.
Yeah, because it's pretty massive. And I know some people who do live out of state from their, you know, fairly controlling, narcissistic-like exes. And the space is nice. The space is nice when you're in a situation where everybody's at school 4 days a week for games. You're constantly interacting and constantly engaging. There's all this opportunity for conflict. And so let's say you've got a situation where there's all this opportunity for conflict. And how do you create that space and distance to not add fuel to the fire?
Well, it doesn't always require space and distance. Sometimes it requires being able to set limits and to really be very intentional about how you're responding to the other parent, right? So it requires making some changes on your part first. And it's important to remember that not all conflict is created equal. So in the early stages, it can look like you have a very high conflict situation. The emotions are strong. There's a lot going on there. It doesn't mean that things can't shift when you make different choices about how you engage with the other parent and how you're supporting your children. With cases like you just talked about, where the conflict is really high and sustained, and it sounds like this dad is like in it to win it, right? That's a different level of conflict where you may have to approach things differently. And what I would focus on is creating that space intentionally for your children. So for example, if you know that there's a soccer game and the other parent is going to be there and it's going to be possibly a very tense and difficult situation. So what happens for kids is when they're at the soccer game, they're probably wondering, who did they go up to first? But the game is over. Are they going to make dad angry?
Right.
Is mom going to get her feelings hurt? How am I going to do this? Well, you can simply take that burden away from your kids by saying, hey, I know dad's going to be at the game. And so after you get done, why don't you go over and say hi to dad, talk to him, and I'll be waiting for you at the concession stand. And you come to me after you're done, and then we'll, you know, go home. So there are certain choices you can make to take the pressure off your kids so they're not caught so much in the middle.
But let's just take that example and make it harder, because that's easy. It's really easy. People, if you don't know that, like, you need to know that. But let's say you tell your child, yes, go ahead and talk to dad first. I'll meet you over here. And then dad is saying, why don't you come with me? I'm going to go do this fun thing, even though it's mom's parenting time. Ask your mom if you can come and we'll do X, Y, and Z. It's just amping up the loyalty bind and the potential conflict. And now the kid has been placed in a situation where they have to go ask their mom if they can spend time with dad, and dad's put pressure on them to do it. And what should mom do in that situation?
So if it's the first time it happens, mom might want to let the child go and not get into a power struggle with dad. It's happened once. So in anticipation for it the next time, you might say, you know, after the game, here's the way things are going to roll. And if dad asks you, you know, you can let him know he can talk with me. Have him call me, right? So you take the kid out of it as much as possible. And again, remember, there are going to be some situations where there isn't going to be a perfectly great answer. And so you do the very best you can. And I had a, this is probably one of the most profound things that I have ever heard of a parent saying. And a parent told a professional once, you know, I don't know what I can do to make things better with the other parent, but I certainly know that at any given moment in time, I can make things much worse for my kids.
Right.
And so my goal is to not make things worse.
Right. Hey there, co-parents. It's Billy Tarasio with Modern Law. And let me tell you about Our Family Wizard, our preferred co-parenting app. It's a game changer. I use it myself. With features like documented calls, secured messaging, shared calendars, and more, Our Family Wizard makes co-parenting smoother than ever. Trust me, I've seen the difference that it can make. Join the over 1 million parents and family law professionals who trust Our Family Wizard to make co-parenting easier. Ready to take some stress out of co-parenting? Head to ourfamilywizard.com/modern law. So if one parent is really engaged in that me, pay attention to me, you know, quasi-alienating behaviors, you in any given moment want to make the easiest decision for your kids, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you don't want that to cost you, you know, when there's conflict between parents and the alienating parent, whatever, gets the child in their care and possession, the child often comes back real spun up, real targeted parent. And sometimes, so what should the targeted parent be doing?
So when you have a kid that is clearly being alienated, right, and they're coming back to you, I think the first thing you have to remember is that all the ideas you have about what a normal parenting relationship should look like probably gets thrown out the window. Like when kids come back and they start talking smack or they're disrespectful, our first instinct is to say, you're not going to speak to me like that, and you're going to get punished, and here's going to be the consequence for that kind of behavior. Now, while it's still important to set limits, the first port of call isn't jumping into disciplining them. It's to validate them. It's to engage them. It's like, whoa, you're really upset. I can see you're really angry with me. Help me understand what's going on here. Well, dad said, blah, 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 or mom told me, la, la, la. Wow. That must be really confusing to hear something like that. I can understand why you'd be angry hearing that from the other parent. I don't agree with what mom said. I don't agree with what dad said. I have a different perspective. So let's work through this. And again, you know, these complicated situations take a lot of work, take a lot of support. And it's important to realize it's, you know, don't focus on the short haul. You need to play a long game. And the long game is that it's going to take consistent and persistent action in a very thoughtful way over time to help work out of this, because it is insidious. And more often than not, parents don't realize it's happening until it's really serious.
Right. The parents that I've found who are most successful essentially have to become therapists. They have to become, you know, because that's what the child needs at that point. The child needs help figuring out how to, you know, disperse of all that energy that they just took in and all that information that they just took in. And they really need a safe space. And they need you at that point, like, not to be their mom or their dad, but to be that kind of container to help them process stuff that they should not have had to do. So you really need like mental health support, right? For the parent that's experiencing all that themselves so that they can provide.
Well, I think you need a team for sure, right? And a therapist may be one part of that, but it's really critical that when you're looking for support, mm-hmm. that you're finding someone that's experienced in dealing with the dynamics of alienation. Mm-hmm. And that's not your garden variety therapist or counselor, your garden variety coach. You know, I deal with parents that are challenged by these kind of situations day in and day out.
Yeah.
But a lot of coaches don't. A lot of therapists don't. They don't really understand. And for some parents, the first go-to is, I got to get my kid to see a therapist. I'm going to get them a therapist. Well, that can sometimes work against you.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you have a parent that's really intent, mm-hmm. right? So what happens for kids is they're placed in this situation where they have to pick or choose. You're either for me or against me.
Right.
And they often see and have clear evidence what happens when you're against me from the alienating parent, because they see how the targeted or unfavored parent is treated.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they get into a therapy situation, it's not uncommon for the alienating parent to really campaign, to want to control the narrative, to either, you know, pull the therapist to their side or to put the kid in a situation where they're only going to say what they're told to say in those situations. And so really it's more about if you want to be effective, not that support can't help a child, but you've got to be really careful about who you're engaging as that support person and that you have someone in your corner that can advise you and walk through some of these circumstances and challenges that you're dealing with in a way that can give you actionable tools and things that you can do specific to your situation.
I agree. I have seen many times where therapists do not help a situation when children are being asked to go to therapy with their parents or reunification type therapy. It seems much more effective when you have a parent acting, using the therapy strategies for their children in real time. And then getting their own treatment to not be triggered, because every single person that is coming out of a divorce, you know, there's triggers. There's things that just set that person off. So how do you help the person who's coming out of, let's say, a very toxic relationship, get grounded enough to be that support person for their children?
So one of the things that I recommend for all parents, but specifically for parents that are dealing with these kinds of situations, is it's really critical to get clear about what your co-parenting values are, crystal clear. And I help parents develop what I refer to as a guiding principle. And it's a simple 1 to 2 sentence statement that articulates, what is it I truly want for my children at the end of this? What is my North Star? What is my defining direction? And when things go off the rails, it can be enormously helpful to keep coming back to, okay, this is why I'm in it. This is what I'm really focused on. This is what I need to base my decisions on. And I think that that can be helpful. I mean, one of the probably worst divorce cases I have worked on in a very long time involved a parent in a same-sex relationship who was just drugged through the court system. Like, it was just horrific. And she was having to testify. Lots of professionals were involved. There were mental health issues by the former partner, and just got really, really nasty. And she said that being able to continually return to this is what I need to stay focused on, my kids, here's my guiding principle, was the one thing that really helped her get through it. Because when she felt like she wanted to give into the despair, the overwhelm, the, you know, just insanity of it all, she'd keep coming back to, okay, this is it. This is what I need to stay focused on, and utilizing her support team.
Okay, so if some people are listening and they're thinking, I want to create my guiding principles, could you give them some examples or a process for how they might start to develop their own guiding principles?
So a guiding principle, again, is like a simple two-sentence statement. So really thinking through when you think about what you want life to look like for your children at the end of this, like when you imagine your children a year out, 5 years, 10 years, what is most valuable and important to you as a parent, for their future, then start crafting out some ideas, some words, and see if you can put together a sentence. So one might be, regardless of the actions of my co-parent or how I feel about them, I will stay committed to making sure that my children have a strong sense of family, feel loved, safe, and protected. Could be that simple. And then from that, you can step out. What are the actions that I can take that support that guiding principle?
How long have you been involved in this type of work?
Over 2 decades.
And what drew you to it?
Well, it certainly wasn't by design, I can tell you that. Back in the day when I started, I mean, people who were divorce coaches were like right up there with the tooth fairy and unicorns. So I have a background in a master's in social work. And actually, my focus when I was in grad school was being a trauma specialist and working with children. And that's really was the focus of my career. And what I didn't realize back then is that the trauma I dedicate my career to would be divorce. So I come from a divorced family. My parents divorced when I was a teenager, but really divorce wasn't something that was on my radar as an individual until I got married to my husband and I became a bonus mom to two very young children. And at that point, I was pretty clear based on my own experience what I didn't want to do, but I didn't know what I should be doing. I really wasn't prepared. And so I started kind of looking for resources and ended up becoming an instructor for a mandatory co-parenting class that we offered in the Houston area. So when parents applied for divorce, they were required to take a 4-hour parenting course. And in some jurisdictions, they still require this. And I became an instructor for that course. And I did it for about 12 years. And I stood in with parents and I heard about their challenges and the things that they were facing. And I realized while it was a child-focused course, like how do you really get your children through this in the best possible way? 4 hours wasn't anywhere near enough. And so I started developing resources. I developed a website. I wrote a book. I created courses, content, started coaching, and now I'm training professionals. So it's just kind of evolved over the course of my career. But the focus has always been on using a child-centered approach and providing information and support along the way so that we can make the best choices possible.
Wonderful. Okay, so Christina, if our listeners want to access some of these resources, where should they go?
Oh, well, I'm glad you asked because if you go to my website, divorceandandchildren.com, I actually offer a free resource guide for co-parents. So when you're in those beginning stages or you're dealing with a lot of conflict and you're not sure where to go, let's face it, there's a lot of chatter on the web and it's really hard to know who to trust, or sometimes looking for the support you need is just as overwhelming as the problem you're dealing with. So I encourage parents to go to my website, sign up for the resource guide. It's probably close to 25 pages of books for children, books for parents, need resources for dealing with high conflict. I've got some listed there, podcast episodes, information on specialized issues. So it's a great place to get started and finding some help for you and your kids moving forward.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. I am quite convinced this will be a very, very popular episode. We've got a support group in Facebook with about 17,000 people, and they're really going to want to know everything that you shared here today. So thank you so much for coming on the show. And if you all have enjoyed this episode, make sure to leave a review, like, download it, share it with your friends. Christina, I hope you have a great day.
Oh, thank you so much. It's been a real pleasure.
Thanks so much for listening to the Modern Divorce Podcast. Remember, anything you've heard today or anything you read online is not the replacement for actual consultation with an attorney and does not create an attorney-client relationship. Even if you called in and we spoke to you, you are anonymous and we don't have your details and you have not become a client of Modern Law. However, we would love to speak with you, or you should seek out the advice of legal counsel or counseling or any other expert near you. And if you have an idea for a show topic or you need to speak with an attorney in Arizona, you can reach me at info@mymodernlaw.com.